chapter 13, verses 17, through to chapter 14, verses 10. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and he said to them, "Go up there into Negev, and go up into the hill country, and see what the land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land they live in is good or bad, and whether the towns they live in are unwalled or fortified, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be bold and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now it was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land of the wilderness to Zin, from Zin to Rehob near Lebo Hamath. They went into the Negev and came to Hebron, and Aman, Sheshai, and Talmai. The Anakites were there. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came to the Wadi Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with a single cluster of grapes. And they carried it on a pole between the two of them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. That place was called Wadi Eshcol because of the cluster that the Israelites had cut down from there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the Israelites in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Yet the people who live in the land are strong, and the towns are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of the Anak there. The Amalekites live in the land of Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan." But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone with him said, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." So they brought to the Israelites an unfavorable report of the land that said they had spied out, saying, "The land that we have gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw are of great size. There we saw the Nephilim." The Anakites come from the Nephilim. "And to ourselves we seemed like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept at night. And all the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become booty. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us choose a captain and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the Israelites. And Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the Israelites, "The land that we went through as spies is exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, the land, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are no more than bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." But the whole congregation threatened to stone them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sean. 2 weeks ago, I began a sermon series on biblical characters. So far, we've looked at Abraham and Joseph. The characters that I've chosen for this series will occur somewhat chronologically. So today, it should have been Moses. Some of you might recall that Moses did come and visit with us about a year ago. He will be back. But today he had a previous speaking engagement. So we will thus have to just wait for his visit in a few weeks. So today, we focus on Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were both born during the years of bondage in Egypt, living under that bondage for about 40 years, and then experiencing God saving them, bringing them out in the Exodus, crossing the Red Sea. The plan was then to go into the land that God had promised them. So Moses had Joshua and Caleb, along with 10 others from each of the tribes, to go and search out the land of Canaan, to see what it was like and to know with what they would be dealing. The 12 spies then returned from their mission and gave a report. It was indeed a bountiful land. And the size of the grape clusters being so large that two men had to carry them or transport them on a pole really is significant. It was a mark of the goodness of the land that God was giving them. The spies give assurance that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of the spies were intimidated by the cities and the people. They were afraid of the giants they saw, the walled up cities and the vast battle array. They yielded to panic, not keeping their focus on God's will and the might of His hand, and concluded that it would be impossible to conquer them. They said, "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." All the 10 saw were the problems and the difficulties, while Joshua and Caleb looked at the difficulties through what they knew about God. They had witnessed God deliver them. They remembered that God had told them that the land was already theirs. They encouraged the people to trust the Lord and move into the land that God had promised. But unfortunately, the people listened to the unfaithful report of the 10 spies. Joshua and Caleb pleaded with them, saying, "Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They're only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." But what did the people do? They listened to fear. Phil Riley mentioned last night how fear can be such a debilitating force. They gave in to that fear. And it was this act of unbelief and rebellion that then delayed them from entering into the land. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. As a punishment for their faithlessness, the current generation would live and die in the wilderness, with Joshua and Caleb as the only exceptions. After reading their story in the book of Numbers, we soon realized that these two men were very different from most of their fellow citizens. They were not afraid to speak up for God, even though what they were saying certainly went against popular opinion. They were different because they didn't see giants or grasshoppers. They saw God. So just who are these two men that gave this faithful report? And what can we learn from them? Well, first, Joshua. The name Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. It's the Hebrew form of Jesus. As I mentioned, he grew up in Egypt as a slave. He was Moses' aide. He was there during the period at Mount Sinai when God gave Moses his instructions. And when Moses went into the tent to meet with God and then left, Joshua stayed, which I found very interesting. In Exodus 33:11, we read, "The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." Moses tasked him with leading Israel's defense against the Amalekite raiders. And in his victory, his leadership abilities were then confirmed. He was a man of loyalty and devotion. Repeatedly, we are told that he wholly followed the Lord. What sets Joshua apart are two things. One, Scripture tells us that he has God's Spirit. Numbers 27:18 tells us, "A man in whom is the Spirit." And he showed a consistent pattern of obedience, praying and following the Lord wholeheartedly. There were three things, important things, that Joshua knew about God. Joshua believed that God was all powerful. He believed that God always kept his promises. And he believed that God would always be with him. Then there's Caleb. Caleb means faithful or bold. And through the ensuing years, after the 12 had been sent to spy out the land, while the Israelites were walking in circles and grumbling every step of the way, Caleb retained a steadfast purpose to not only do God's will, but to please him. And 6 times scripture says about Caleb that Caleb followed God fully. Literally, he was filled with pursuing. Wouldn't you love that to be said about yourself? His heart was so set on following God. At age 85, still as strong as the day he left Egypt, he led his clan to claim the promise that God had made 45 years earlier. In Joshua 14, Caleb says to Joshua, "I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord has spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." After almost half a century of waiting, Caleb's faith was still strong. When it came time to seize what God had promised him, Caleb didn't hesitate for a second. There were still giants roaming on Caleb's mountain, but that didn't matter. He was a lot older, but that didn't matter. In Caleb's mind, if God promised it, that was enough. Joshua and Caleb were focused on God, and they were obedient to God. The secret to their victories was not in their skill with the sword, but knowing who God is and following him. Joshua 1:8 says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." There was a new pastor that came to a church, and when he arrived, he decided that he would go and he'd visit the children's Sunday school. The teacher introduced him and said, "Pastor, this morning we are studying Joshua." "Well, that's wonderful," said the new pastor. "Let's see what you're learning. Who tore down the walls of Jericho?" Little Billy shyly raised his hand and offered, "Pastor, I didn't do it." Taken aback, the pastor asked, "Now, come on now, who tore down the walls of Jericho?" The teacher interrupted and said, "Pastor, Billy's a good boy. If he says he didn't do it, I believe he didn't do it." Flustered, the pastor went to the Sunday school director and related the story to him. The director looked worried and explained, "Well, sir, we have had some problems with Billy before. Let me talk to him and see what we can do." Really bothered now by the answers of the teacher and the director, the new pastor approached the deacons and related the whole story, including the responses of the teacher and the director. A white-haired gentleman thoughtfully stroked his beard and said, "Well, Pastor, I move we just take the money from the general fund to pay for the walls and leave it at that." How well do you know God's word? I hope you do know who tore down the walls of Jericho. But if you don't, go ahead and read the book of Joshua. When we don't know God's word, how do we know what he is like? Ever notice how some of us tend to dwell on one trait of God's character, ignoring others? We emphasize his mercy at the expense of his righteousness, or his justice at the cost of his grace. We doubt and are afraid because we don't know his love and his power. We can live our lives based on hearsay evidence from the reports of others, rather than knowing what God is saying to us, knowing him for ourselves. We're to meditate on God's word, allowing Christ to be formed in us. This is the secret of strength. The problem with the 10 negative spies is that they focused on themselves. What could they do? Joshua and Caleb focused on God's power and God's resources. One thing that will stop us moving forward time and time again is fear. The question is not how big is the problem or how big am I, but how big is my God? And our view of God arises out of how well we know him. This morning we just looked at one passage describing an incident with Joshua and Caleb. The book of Joshua gives us more insight, telling the story of how Joshua led the Israelites to conquer and then settle in the promised land. And when you read the opening of the book of Joshua, you see that he was repeatedly encouraged to be strong and courageous. And F.B. Meyer makes this comment. When therefore the call came to him to assume the office that Moses was vacating, his heart failed him, and he needed every kind of encouragement and stimulus, both from God and man. Be strong means that he felt weak. Be of good courage means that he was frightened. Be not thou dismayed means that he seriously considered whether he would not have to give up the task. I don't know if this is the case. You know, I look back at Joshua's history and I kind of doubt it. This is speculation on the part of Meyer. But Moses had just died, and Joshua was now in charge. And even though Joshua had led battles, as he now stepped in as the leader in Moses' place, that must have been very daunting. Moses would have been hard shoes to fill. If Joshua did need these reminders, well, maybe that's a big encouragement for us. We have to remember that these were men just like us. They're not to be put on a pedestal. They were not perfect, having no weaknesses. We, too, need these reminders. How often do we feel weak and afraid? God will give us the power we need. God places people like Joshua and Caleb in our lives to remind us to trust in God. As the church today, I think we need the message of the lives of Joshua and Caleb to be strong and courageous as we face our enemies and march forward to claim what the Lord has for us. Not all giants are made of flesh and blood. They come in many forms in our lives. So this morning I ask, are there giants in your lives that are standing in the way of God's plan for you? How you look at them is going to change with how you deal with them. Yes, they might be big and strong, but are they bigger and stronger than God? Caleb and Joshua knew the answer. They could both look back at the miracles that God had performed in their lives, in the lives of all Israel, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was able to give them every victory, no matter how improbable, unlikely, or even impossible it seemed. We can be afraid, or we can walk forward. We can just exist, missing out on the victory and the blessing that he has for us, or we can pay attention, knowing, trusting, and being obedient to our Creator. There is a power, an overflowing love, an assurance, joy, and freedom that we can possess. The question is, have you realized these conditions and entered in on those privileges? Or are you still wandering in the wilderness, afraid of what you might face? God cares for you. He's not just some partial observer with no vested interest in the battles that you face. He is there, caring for us, supporting us. And I lost my last page. Here it is. He wants us to overcome. Holiness, victory, and power is what we are called to. To be strong in the Lord, we have to believe what Joshua and Caleb believed, that God is all-powerful, that God always keeps his promises, and that God is always with us. He will give us the strength. We can do all things in Christ, strengthened by His indwelling might and by the power of His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You for what You have done, and that You have promised to never leave us nor forsake us. That You take our weakness, our weariness, our faint-heartedness and difficulties, and that we can give them to You and we can be strong in You. There are many giants in the world today. From the threat of war, the things that we see on the news, we can be so fearful, fearful of other countries. We can see them as giants. We can see giants maybe where we work, or different personal battles that we face. Lord, may we take hold of all the fullness of our inheritance in You. Help us to be faithful, trusting You, learning more and more about You. Help us to be faithful in all the circumstances we face, not forgetting what You have done, and truly follow where You are leading us. You have rescued us so that we can stand and we can sing with confidence, "I am a child of God." In Jesus' name, amen.